Trust, belief, and accountability.
This is Buccaneers Total Access with the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Greg Schiano.
Our team will be built around a humble, unselfish attitude of sacrifice.
Brought to you by International Diamond Center, where you'll find better selection and value guaranteed. Now your host, TJ Reeves.
Hey there and good evening. Another Monday night, another Buccaneer victory. This time, an exciting 34-24 win for the Buccaneers over the San Diego Chargers. And we have much to break down, discuss, analyze, and obviously go over with you folks out there tonight, as it is Buccaneers Total Access here with the head coach as we come your way on the Buccaneers Radio Network. And why don't we talk some about what went on Sunday afternoon at Raymond James Stadium, shall we? And first and foremost, it was Military Appreciation home game, USAA sponsoring things. Great to see the military presence that was there, obviously in and around Raymond James Stadium, and the fan card stunt that went so well in the first quarter for those that were around as they held up signs all around the lower bowl of the stadium that spelled out "Thank you, veterans" on one side, "Thank you, military" on the other. Quite an atmosphere, quite a backdrop for this game to take place as part of Veterans Day and Veterans Day weekend. And what a treat, what a battle on the football field for the Bucs and the San Diego Chargers. The game began with the Chargers getting a big play on offense, an 80-yard touchdown pass from Phillip Rivers to Denario Alexander. But even though the game was 7-0, the Bucs hadn't even had the ball yet. And the first time they did get the ball, they were able to move right down the field, a drive that would encompass 80 yards in 9 plays, would eventually culminate right here with Josh Freeman looking on the goal line for Dallas Clark.
From the 3-yard line, second down goal. Doug Martin back in the game. Dallas Clark shifts in motion, comes back near side. Here's the snap. Play action, rollout. A rollout, a pass to Dallas Clark. Touchdown, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Easy touchdown. Dallas Clark open, one pirouette route, and there was Freeman bootleg roll. It got it right to him.
Yes, indeed. And Dallas Clark open on that bootleg. And again, an 80-yard drive as the Bucs come out of the gate with an impressive 9 plays to tie the game up at 7-7. Eventually, San Diego would get another touchdown and would lead the game 14-10 after a Connor Barth field goal. And then one of the big plays of the day would happen in the second quarter of this game as the Chargers drop back to punt. The Buccaneers special teams came hunting for a block punt yet again and got it.
Mike Cyphers to punt. Bucs are coming after it. Oh, we block it. We block the punt. The ball picked up by the Buccaneers. Us down the court to the 10-yard line. Watson.
Adam Hayward.
Hayward. Adam Hayward's got a Buccaneer touchdown and a block punt. Dakota Watson with a block. And Adam Hayward takes it to the promised land.
A 29-yard punt return there for Adam Hayward. It was the first time since 2009 that the Buccaneers had blocked a punt, picked it up, and run it in for a touchdown. That combination in 09 was Geno Hayes blocking the punt. Who else? Ronde Barber in throwback orange, by the way, picking the punt up against the Green Bay Packers in 09 and racing it in. And it's kind of fitting because earlier this year in Dallas, Dakota Watson came completely clean, couldn't block the punt, and ended up roughing the punter, as it turns out. Adam Hayward last week in Oakland came completely clean, couldn't block the punt, roughed the punter. How poetic almost that the two of them get into the backfield. Dakota Watson comes clean, blocks the punt. Hayward picks it up, his first NFL touchdown, races into the end zone. Cannot emphasize enough how big a momentum play that was for the Buccaneers to get 7 on that block punt. So the Chargers would get a touchdown just before halftime. They would lead 21-17. We go into the second half now of this game, and the Buccaneers would go marching yet again, this time not on the first drive of the second half, but the second drive of the second half. Bucs would end up going 59 yards, 6 plays, and it culminates right here.
From the 15-yard line, first down and 10, Buccaneers moving left. Freeman out of the gun, looking over the middle, throws it in the middle, caught at the 5, 3-2-1, touchdown, Tyquan Underwood, touchdown Tampa Bay. Bucs take the lead, fire them cannons.
A 15-yard touchdown catch for Underwood, his second on the season, and for Josh Freeman. Yet another game with two touchdown passes for him. That is the fifth consecutive game now that he has put two or more touchdowns up on the board. So the back and forth game would finally go under the control of the Bucs at that point at 24-21. And that would set the stage for the Buccaneer defense to make a couple of huge plays, the first of which would happen at the beginning of the fourth quarter. Chargers driving at this point. It's a 24-21 game. They're already in field goal range. It's a third down when the Buccaneers came after Phillip Rivers, and then a magical moment would happen.
Four. Out of the gun, they need to reach the 19. From the 23, Rivers buys time, rolls to his right, directing traffic, rolling. He'll throw, hits intercepted, picked off by the Bucs down the sideline. Leonard Johnson to the 30, Leonard Johnson to the 25, to the 20, dance into the end zone, young man. Leonard Johnson takes it to the house.
Great call there from Mean Gene, as Leonard Johnson was high-stepping the last 10 yards or so to get in the end zone. And again, put this play in perspective. Here's an undrafted player, a rookie, a guy who grew up in the Tampa Bay area playing at Largo High School, dreaming maybe someday of being in the NFL, much less dreaming of playing for the Bucs, and then have a play like that happen on Sunday where you pick one off, you avoid an offensive lineman that's chasing you, you're able to race down the sideline in a huge situation with a touchdown. Hollywood probably rejects the script. Seen it before, ran that movie before, nobody will believe it this time around. It was actually real life at Raymond James Stadium for Leonard Johnson, the rookie. What a tremendous moment for him to take that one back. Officially, it goes as an 83-yard touchdown return on the interception, the fourth longest in Buccaneer history. Makes the game 31-21, but it's still game on. You still have the entire fourth quarter to play in this game, and once again, the Buccaneer defense would come up large, pressuring Phillip Rivers, number one, and then capitalizing on that.
Ronnie Brown to the backfield, wants the ball snapped. Here it is. Again, the Bucs rush. Again, the Bucs rush. Here it comes. Pressure down the near sideline. It is caught. Picked off by the Bucs. It's at the 35-yard line, and Laquan Lewis has picked off Phillip Rivers for the second time of the game.
Well, and you cannot, again, emphasize young guys. Laquan Lewis is a rookie as well, a guy that was released off the active roster before the Minnesota game, and then brought back to the practice squad in the last week or so, and then put up onto the active roster for this game to not only play in the defensive backfield but also return kicks. Laquan Lewis comes up with that interception. That would lead the Buccaneers to getting the Connor Barth field goal in the final couple of minutes. Bucs able to get a couple of first downs, one of them on a great catch by Doug Martin from about an 8-yard catch, a leaping catch to help them get a first down, help them run the clock. Chargers end up having to burn some timeouts. Connor Barth knocks home the 45-yard field goal. It's once again a 10-point game at 34-24. And then as things end up, the Buccaneers able to put the game away. One last drive where San Diego can't make much happen. And can't say enough about the job this team continues to do in the second half. Hold the Chargers to 3 points, come from behind, and win 34-24. A couple of superlatives for the Buccaneers. As I mentioned, Josh Freeman was 14 of 20 in the game, 210 yards. Didn't have to have a massive amount of yardage, but the two touchdowns were obviously huge in this game and in the comeback. Doug Martin ran for 68 yards, caught for another 51. Obviously, a combined 119 yards from scrimmage for him. By the way, over the last five games, Doug Martin has the most yardage from scrimmage for any rookie running back, going all the way back to Edgerrin James with the Colts in 1999. So it has been some 13 years in the NFL since somebody has been this successful as a rookie running back with catches, with rushes. So give Doug Martin a lot of credit, obviously, on that. And again, Buccaneers did what they had to do, especially on the defensive side of the ball, able to get the couple of turnovers. You look at some of the individual defensive efforts from this game. Lavonte David with 14 more tackles in the contest. You're able to get a couple of sacks in this game as well. And the two turnovers, the two interceptions in the second half is what you focus on the most, including the interception return for a touchdown there by Leonard Johnson, which helped seal the deal. And with all of that out of the way, once again, for the positive, we say, Hello, congratulations, and good evening to the head coach, Greg Schiano. Congrats on yet another victory that your team was able to pull out in the second half. You've now had some time to reflect on it. Just give me a couple of opening thoughts on how you were able to do what you did in half number two, especially.
Well, I think, you know, the guys, they hung in there and kept playing. Things didn't always go our way, but it was kind of a weird game. You know, we only had 43 offensive plays, so you know, when you look at the average gain per play and all those things, it was pretty positive. It just, we didn't have many plays. So defensively, we had a few issues. But at the end of the day, the guys came up and made plays, and those same guys made plays in the kicking game, you know, the block punt for a touchdown. So found a way to win, and, you know, it was really good to do it at home for our fans.
As I was saying there on the block punt, it's kind of poetry because, you know, for whatever it's worth, fans pay attention to this, broadcasters, observers pay attention to this. Dakota Watson was so close to a block punt in Dallas, gets a 15-yard penalty. Adam Hayward was close to a block punt in Oakland, gets a 15-yard penalty. Now the two of them are there in the backfield, and Dakota this time gets the block punt. Adam Hayward picks it up and runs it in. And that cannot be overstated how big that 7 points was at that juncture to swing things back in your favor, Coach.
Well, I think any time you can do that and you can score a non-offensive touchdown, it's going to be important. And you're right. Those are two guys that had free shots at the punter in previous games and for one reason or another didn't get it done. And to see them both together get it done, I know it made them very happy. It made me happy as well.
Yeah, getting contributions from your young guys, and we saw this all over the place yesterday, not just Leonard Johnson, but you got Laquan Lewis with an interception. We got to remind ourselves, Doug Martin is a rookie. Mark Barron is a rookie. Lavonte David is a rookie. How rewarding is it as a coaching staff to see young guys step in there and perform like these guys are performing, Coach?
Well, it certainly helps if your rookies can play a prominent role and make plays and help you win games. You know, it doesn't happen very often to this degree, this number. But I think, you know, we've picked some good guys, some guys that are guys that fit what we want to do. And I don't just mean schematically or athletically, but, you know, their work ethic and their approach to the game. And, you know, the other side to that is our older guys, our vets, have accepted these guys in. There's none of that separation type deal. They've tried to help them get ready. They've taught them football. They've taught them how to be a pro. And so far, they're doing a good job. Now we're entering that phase where they're going to have to push through, right? I mean, we're 5-4. That's 9 games plus 4 preseason. That's 13 games. You know, you don't play 13 games in college. So now's the time when they're going to have to really – test their training, test their conditioning, and both physically and mentally, they need to make sure that they find a way to be ready each Sunday.
All right, so the Bucs victorious over the Chargers. We will talk more about the upcoming matchup with the Carolina Panthers as well. Stay with us. We're going to have more on Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Greg Schiano, brought to you by the International Diamond Center, where you'll find better selection and value guaranteed. We'll also have your phone calls as well and your input as we go along. Stay with us. This is the Buccaneers Radio Network. Continue on here with the head coach after a 34-24 win over the San Diego Chargers. We will take your phone calls here in a little bit, 990-4620. If you're in Hillsborough County, if you're in Pinellas County, you join us at 727-461-4620. And toll-free outside of the immediate Tampa Bay area, you can join us at 1-800-596-BUCKS, 1-800-596-2827. Wherever you're hearing the show tonight, however you're hearing the show tonight, feel free to join in. You can also tweet in a question. Tweet me one there at Bucks Sideline Guy. You don't want to wait on hold or whatever the case is. BUC, Bucks Sideline Guy. And we'll try to get to some of those. You know, I've gotten to ask you this a couple of different times. It does not get old, especially in victory. But you have now won 3 games in a row that could have gone either way in the fourth quarter of the football game. Where earlier in the season, games may not have been going your way in the fourth quarter. These 3 straight have. What have the differences, one or two things, been on being able to finish these and win these, Coach?
That we made the plays and they didn't. You know, that's really what it boils down to at the end of the game, in the fourth quarter. Got to be able to make the plays when they present themselves. And, you know, there's 2 teams out there trying to get the same thing. So we're getting better. I think the cumulative reps of doing things over and over again and understanding what we're doing has helped, and hopefully it'll continue to help.
How you deal with adversity. I know you've talked about that and other coaches talk about that. There's going to be adversity. There are going to be things that go wrong, whether it's a turnover, and you haven't had many of those, or a big play by the opposition. How you respond to adversity. And I think this team has shown, especially in the second half and in the fourth quarter, that's a huge part of this game, isn't it?
Well, it is. I mean, you just look at the first third down. Right? I mean, we have it covered. We're going to tackle it. And now all of a sudden it goes for a touchdown, right? And it's a big play, and you're sitting there saying, you know, everybody, don't panic. Just get back on and go to work and, you know, learn how to play the game for four quarters or more if needed, and to treat every down as it's an independent event, and you're just going to go do your best that down. That's something that takes a lot of work to get into that mindset and be able to approach it that way.
All right, into the second half, once again, you guys are able to put a long couple of drives together and eventually get the touchdown on the second drive. It's a 59-yard, six-play drive where you're kind of mixing run and pass, including a deep ball to Vincent Jackson, and you eventually get a 15-yard touchdown to Tyquan Underwood. That drive out of the locker room puts you in front for good, as it turns out, at 24-21. Let's talk about the things you liked on that drive.
Well, you know, there's a lot of things. I think the big fourth down conversion, right? I mean, the guys kind of – you wish we didn't put ourselves in that spot. We had an opportunity to get the first down on the third down play, and the San Diego kid made a heck of a play and came off the block and stuck Doug, and we were inches short, you know, and for our guys to go out there and you know, when everybody knows you're coming up the pipe, and quarterback sneak it, and we gained 4 or 5 yards. And then that following play, boom, you hit Vincent on the deep out route, and away you go, and we score a touchdown to tie. That was good stuff.
When you were there at midfield with third and short, are you contemplating at that moment with third and one? I know you want to get the first down, but are you contemplating if we don't? I'm thinking we're going here, or had you gotten that far as of yet?
Well, you always have to plan ahead. You know, it all depends on what that third down play did. And, you know, when I saw how short it was, you know, we made a decision rather quickly. That's what we were going to do.
The play to Vincent Jackson, again, you know, there are teams double-teaming him. There are people trying to take him away. But time and again, he is able to get down the field and get open. Why is that? Do you just you chalk that up that he's great at what he does, properly coached, all of the above? Why is he having that kind of success when people are obviously keying on him?
Well, you know, he's a great player, that's first off. Very talented and understands what he's doing. And then, you know, when you start doing different special things to take care of a guy, sometimes it works and sometimes it gets you a little fouled up on defense. So I think Vince is taking advantage of that. And Josh has really thrown the ball well to him. I mean, they have a chemistry and a feel for each other that, you know, is promising.
The touchdown play to Tyquan Underwood. I know we talked to Josh after the game and he said, hey, I've got several options there, but I saw Tyquan flash over the middle, and he's able to hit him in stride. Again, 7 points there, and you're never going to relinquish the lead. In watching that play again and again on the coach's tape, just tell me about the touchdown.
Well, I thought it was great patience. You know, Josh had to wait for Ty to clear into the window, and there was a linebacker there before, and he held the ball, great protection. Josh slid up in the pocket a little bit and delivered a strike right to Ty on the run.
You know, you just said the word protection. Once again yesterday, and we've seen it really in this recent run of offensive success, there has been time to throw the football. There's obviously been running lanes for Doug Martin, but say something about the offensive line in pass protection, giving him time, Josh, to look over the field, Coach.
Well, you're right. I mean, the guys have, you know, we're not perfect by any means, but they are fighting their rear ends off. And, you know, when I look at Donald Penn and Jeremy Zutau leading that group and, you know, the guys that have jumped in just doing a tremendous job with Dotson at the right tackle and Jamon Meredith at the right guard. And then certainly with Ted Larson at center stepping in a big way. And, you know, I can't say enough when you talk about what Jeremy Zutau has done, you know, unselfishly. You know he wants to be playing center. He's enjoyed the move to center. He's really good at it. He makes all the calls. But the best thing for our football team is for him to go play left guard. And, you know, seamlessly he's done it for 2 weeks and played well. And, you know, I thought he really played pretty well this week.
Yeah, and obviously the results showing up big time for this team on the offensive side of the ball. All right, let's get to one of the plays that the fans have been talking about now for about 24 hours, the interception return by Leonard Johnson. And it comes at a critical time in the game. The Chargers are down three. They're in obvious field goal range. They're trying to get a first down and maybe a touchdown. And the first thing that I think kind of gets overlooked is the pass rush really gets after Phillip Rivers and flushes him. Just kind of pick it up from there now, having seen it on the tape and watched it with your team, because he's under duress and he fires the ball under duress and you guys took care of the rest.
Well, you're right. You know, going into the game, Phillip Rivers is such a competitor, and that's one of the things you know. And when you get him off the spot, when you get him scrambling, he has a hard time letting the play die. He doesn't think there's a play that he can't make. And, you know, Leonard was in good position. He held coverage. One of the hard things when a quarterback's scrambling around and you're in zone coverage is to stay deep in your zone until he crosses the line of scrimmage. You know, you see it so many times. Guys leave their zone, and then the quarterback dumps it right over their head. So Leonard did a good job and, you know, a little bit shocked, I think, when the ball was thrown right at him. But, boy, did he quickly become an offensive player, got back to his Largo High quarterback days and took it right down the sideline.
You know, and he raced. He got by an offensive lineman. He raced down there, and he was kind of high-stepping the last 5 yards. And what a moment for an undrafted player who grew up as a Buccaneer fan to be in a Buccaneer uniform making a play like that to help clinch a game. As I joked earlier, Hollywood rejects that script. We've seen it already. We've made that movie already. That was real life yesterday in the fourth quarter. Pretty neat, huh, as a coach?
Yeah, pretty neat. Pretty neat. We're going to reject the high-stepping in the field of play, though. We don't do that here. So he and Leonard and I will have a little conversation about that. He can do the celebrating in the end zone. That'll be good. But, he's a great kid. And you could just see that was sheer excitement. That's what I mean. He could hardly contain himself. You know, and what a run the guy's had, right? He's been involved in three games now. He's had three interceptions, and really he's had four. I mean, that one before the half in Minnesota, you know, it can be argued that was an interception. So you're looking at four interceptions in three games. That's pretty good productivity.
I think so. Now, here's a fun one because, you know, I pay attention to these kind of things. In your final season, and as it turns out, your final game at Rutgers, you're coaching in a bowl game for Rutgers against Iowa State, where Leonard Johnson played college football. How much did Greg Schiano know or remember about Leonard Johnson when all that came around? He's smiling at me, by the way, for the radio audience. You knew a little something about Leonard Johnson because you went against him, right, in the bowl game.
Well, we did. We did go against him, and, you know, I thought then that he was a really good player. And Mark Dominic and his staff, you know, they liked him coming out of college. And we were fortunate to get him as a free agent. You know, it goes back further than that. We had high school camps down here in Florida when I was at Rutgers, and when Leonard showed up right after we signed him to a free agent contract, he showed up the next day at the facility, and he had the picture that we had taken when he was a little high school kid, a little wee high school quarterback. So I can't tell you I remembered that, but when he showed me the picture, I did, and so it's pretty neat.
Is it wild how things sometimes work out? I mean, you were mentioning Jeremy Zuta earlier. You were mentioning Tyquan Underwood earlier, who are players that you coached in college, and now here's a guy that was at a camp when you're recruiting players, and now you're coaching them in the NFL. It's just, it's the nature, I guess, of pro sports, isn't it?
Well, you know, you're running that circle, right? So football people are around football people, and when that happens, yeah, many paths cross. And then it's funny how down the road they cross again, and, you know, it's good stuff.
All right, now later on, the game is still on here. I mean, you got you know this. You got 13 minutes left. Later on, you get another huge stop, as it turns out, where Laquan Lewis picks off Phillip Rivers. Again, he was being pressured, fires one up, and Laquan Lewis picks it off, and it eventually leads to a first down, running the clock, and a field goal. Here again, another young man who is a rookie that steps in, a guy that was even off the roster a couple of weeks ago that you bring back. Huge situation in the fourth quarter, Coach, and you call upon the defense to make a play. They make a play, and that young man individually, Laquan Lewis, makes a play. Just tell me about that play that basically clinched the game.
Well, I thought you were going to tell me the household name, Laquan Lewis. You know, not yet, huh? You know, Laquan stepped up. He had an opportunity. He was in reserve role, and then when Eric got hurt and was out, Laquan's number was called, and he went in, I think, you know, not only on defense but on special teams, did some good things. And, you know, he's a talented guy. You just need to keep moving him forward in his football, you know, learning more and more, and And the way he works, I'm sure he will.
As a coach and as a coaching staff, how gratifying is it that here's a young man that you guys had to tell before the Minnesota game, we're releasing you off the roster, but hang in there, you never know what can happen. And 2 weeks later, you bring him back onto the active roster, and he makes a play. How gratifying for you, your staff, you know, for that kid and for that play?
Well, you know, we were certainly, when we released him before the Minnesota game, we were hoping we'd get him back on our practice squad. We wanted him in the organization, but as numbers dictate, sometimes you have to do some things that are a little bit, you hold your breath on, you know. But you saw immediately, you know, we actually saw when he was in Dallas that, you know, what an explosive player he was, and he played against us in that game. So we had our eye on him, and I'm glad that we were able to get him back here and then eventually make him active because he was helpful.
All right, so again, your team is able to get the victory 34-24. I know a lot of fans that are tuning in to hear us here on Buccaneers Total Access, and we will take your calls and get to your comments coming up, are concerned about Quincy Black, who went out in this game in the third quarter with a collision, had to be carted off the field. As it stands right now, what do we know about this situation? I know he went to the hospital, but what do we know here about the very latest? What can you tell us at the moment?
Well, you know, he has a serious situation, and you know, what he had is and continues to have is some issues with his left arm, you know, sensation and ability to move and those things. So it was a violent hit, mm-hmm. You know, two really stout players hitting into each other, and Quincy kind of caught the side of it, you know, his head straight on into Quincy's side of his head. And it's done some damage to the nerves and things, and we're going to have to wait and see for sure. But, you know, I'm just thankful that he's okay. You know, I think this stuff will all recover. But, you know, initially it's a very scary situation. But, you know, as soon as I, from the sideline, saw Quincy move that right arm, then I felt a lot better. And when I got out there, you know, he was with it and knew what was going on. It's just I thought our medical staff – and the people over at the stadium with the EMTs just did a great job. I mean, they followed the drill to the T, and you can't be safe enough in a situation like that.
Well, real quick, you've obviously been through this obviously with Eric LeGrand previously, and it's a situation where the whole stadium goes quiet. You're concerned for the player that's there. You want to make sure that he's okay, and now he's gone. And you have to get back and try to play a football game. Was there anything significant that you had to say to the team to try to get them refocused? Because the game stopped for about 8 or 9 minutes while that was going on, Coach.
Well, you know, I think after talking with Quincy, I told his teammates, hey, you know, Quincy's going to be okay. Everything here, they're just making sure. They're precautionarily moving him this way. But I think when Quincy told them, you know, he told a few of the guys, and that word spread quickly, and then the guys were able to get back at the task at hand.
And the task at hand was to put away the Chargers, and that they did, 34-24. Again, we're going to have more with the coach, including talking Carolina Panthers. Rematch coming up in Charlotte Sunday at 1 o'clock. We will have more on Buccaneers Total Access, including your phone call straight ahead with the head coach, Greg Schiano. It's brought to you by International Diamond Center, where you'll find better selection and value guaranteed. This is the Buccaneers Radio Network. And we're back in here on this Monday evening with the head coach as we continue on and get ready to talk Carolina Panthers in a little bit. But this segment belongs to you folks. Again, here's how you join us. 990-4620 if you're in Hillsboro. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll free anywhere you can hear the show, 1-800-596-BUCKS. 1-800-596-2827. You can also tweet a question if you don't want to wait on hold and you want to tweet a question to the coach. Can't get through on the phones, whatever the case is, do so at Buck Sideline Guy, B-U-C, Buck Sideline Guy. For the fans, I like to do this as frequently as we can, Coach. For the fans that are just joining us as they're getting off work, whatever the case is, didn't hear an overall comment on the game as of yet, just give me an overall thought before we go to the phones about getting a third straight win, knocking out the Chargers yesterday, now to get to 5-4, if you would.
Well, you know, I think it was a hard-fought game by both teams. Both teams were playing for a lot, and you know what? We were able to withstand some blows and not play our best football, probably. We didn't play the best we've played all year, but we played well enough to win. We made plays in critical situations, and, you know, that's an unselfish way to play the game, and as a coach, you like to see that, where the offense, the defense, and the special teams are playing off each other.
All right, let's go to the phones. Here is Steve in Venice. You are up first on Buccaneers Total Access. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Coach. It's a pleasure to talk to you. First of all, I want to thank you for what you're doing with the Bucs. I think it's great. I know you've been getting a lot of knocks as far as being a coach and what you've done with the Giants and so forth. Just keep it up. What the rookies are doing are incredible. They're playing ball like they've been veterans. What I want to ask is, are you seeing now that the defenses or offenses are coming in there planning to pass against us because of our secondary?
Well, you know, I don't know if they're planning more than they normally do. I mean, this is a passing league, so people throw the ball a lot. Now, you know, we are definitely not where we want to be with our pass defense, and we're working awfully hard to get that remedied. But again, you know, when you look at the run defense being as effective as it's been this season, you know, probably a little bit more if they throw it, you know, 58% of the time, they may be throwing it 63% of the time and up it a little bit. But I don't think it's wholesale by any means. I just, you know, maybe increased, you know, marginally.
Steve, thanks. Continue on the phones. Here's Tommy. I think this is your guy from New Jersey that's with us here on Buccaneers Total Access. Hey, Tommy.
Hey, how you doing, Coach? This is Tommy again from Point Pleasant.
Doing great, Tommy. How you doing?
Oh, man, we made the trip down. We just got to the airport, but we snuck the call in, which is great. We had a couple good days getting out of Jersey. And with the team, man, you guys played good. All things were clicking, all parts of the game. We were right down at the end zone when the interception, your man ran it back. Everybody was there cheering for you. So keep up the good work. Say hello to Quincy. Tell him to get better. And hopefully we'll see you at the next home game.
I appreciate that, Tommy. And I'll give you your well wishes to Quincy. I'm sure he'll appreciate it as well.
All right, Tommy, thanks. By the way, because we love these little notes and nuggets, that was the first time in a Buccaneer game that the Bucs got a special teams touchdown, a defensive touchdown, as well as an offensive touchdown in the same game going back to 2009, the win over Green Bay. So you scored in all three phases of the game. And, you know, you talk and other coaches talk all the time. I mean, it's one thing to make plays, but when you get touchdowns on a special teams play or on an interception return, even bigger emphasis on that, right?
Well, you know, we work on it as far as non-offensive scoring. And there's only a few ways you can do it. And the guys really executed the way that that we asked them to and put it in the end zone. So sure as heck helps in the end.
On punt blocking, I mean, you guys have had success with blocking punts and have come very close other times. Again, you know, teams have got to be planning for this against you because they've seen it on tape, but you continue to have success. How impressed are you with your ability to still get in there and block punts when other teams have to be wary of it because you've done it a few times this year?
Well, it's players. You know, they listen, they understand what we're trying to get accomplished each week because it is different each week. And they execute it, you know, and you spend time in the meeting room and on the practice field, and you go out and do it on game day. And we have some really good players, guys that are you know, well-suited to play on the punt block team, and they're continuing to make plays.
Hey, let's touch on one of those guys, Dakota Watson, because he is a guy that came onto this roster as a late-round draft pick. And there have been others in Buccaneer history. Shelton Quarles, who's in the personnel department now for this team, basically stayed on the roster, Coach, for about 4 or 5 years as a special teams hitman. He was making 10, 12 tackles a year on special teams, which is not easy to do, as well as big plays. But say something about Dakota Watson making plays, because not only did he have the block punt, he had a big tackle later in the game on special teams. Just say something about that young man, if you would.
Well, Dakota is such a hard worker and such a good guy to have on our football team. I mean, he is, you know, on every one of our special teams. He's a backup linebacker, and he's one of those guys that, as an opposing coach, you have to account for him because he's got physical, you know, stature. He can really, really run, and he's going to hit you when he gets there. And on Sunday, he blocked that punt. He, you know, it was great. He got turned loose, and he went right to the block point and did it just the way we asked him to, and led to a score.
And you got to be able to find those guys. I mean, Adam Hayward is another guy that this team found in the late rounds. And you got, you know, other players. Eric Lorig is another guy found in the late rounds. In the NFL, you've got to be able to do that, right? You got to have that depth. You got to have those contributors, right?
Well, there's no doubt. And, you know, hats off to Mark Dominic and his staff. you know, Dennis Hickey, all the guys in personnel, because, you know, those are the guys that you, that's where you earn your keep. You know, you're finding guys that maybe, you know, can do this or can do that, but you're not sure, but they have a skill set that you really believe can be developed. And, you know, they're valuable players for sure.
Back to the phones. Walter is in Plant City. You are next on Buccaneers Total Access. Hey, Walter.
How you doing, TJ? How you doing, Coach?
Doing great, Walter. How are you?
I'm doing great. Coach, I want to say one thing. My first comment is this. The best thing I like about you so far that I've observed is your discipline. And I want to ask a question now. It's about the secondary. And I know we as fans, we don't know what calls are made, but it seems to me it's like our cornerbacks are like one step behind, just to the left or to the right, or just out of position a little small bit. And I want to know what you guys are doing about that and how it's going to affect us going forward. And thank you, Coach, and thank you, TJ.
Well, thank you, Walter. And I'll tell you what, I know our guys are working awfully hard at remedying some of the issues that we're having in coverage. It's a comprehensive deal, though. It's not just the defensive backs. It's the pass rush. It's our ability to affect the quarterback, to alter his throws. It all fits together. And when you're playing good pass defense, you're having, you know, some kind of success at each level. And when you're not, usually there's a missing element. So we're working very hard at getting it fixed. And, you know, we got some young guys that are trying to climb the ladder. So hopefully this will improve. You know, we need to keep playing run defense, you know, the way we are and put them together, and it can be really good.
All right, Walter, thanks for the call. A couple of people on Twitter, one of them a Buck fan, Horace, is listening. He says, Coach, I'm listening as usual. I can't call you, though, but I want you to know I appreciate you. So there you go. Horace wants you to know that.
Well, I appreciate Horace taking the time out to say that.
Cameron tweets in and says, was that specific punt block designed for Dakota to bust through? So, I mean, that's... I mean, I don't know that you can you specifically design a block for one guy to get through, or is mainly the design that you're trying to get one of three or four guys through, depending on who they block and don't block? How does that work?
Well, there's always a guy that you believe is going to come free if you design it correctly. But then when the way they block it, you never know how they're going to block it. So we always tell our guys, every one of you it's designed for every one of you to block it. Unless you're holding a guy up on purpose, then obviously it's not for you. But any guy that's rushing it, you could be the guy. So you got to go to the block point, you got to go hard, and you got to make sure that when you get there, you do it correctly.
A little more for the fans. When you talk about the block point and you're in practice, what are they practicing on that block point and how do they practice it, Coach?
Well, every punter has a little different block point, right? So this week the block point was about 10 yards. From where the line of scrimmage. So you don't want to aim where the punter starts because he started this week at 15 yards. Then after he catches it and takes his steps and extends his leg, it's about 10 yards, maybe just a little less. So their guys are really keenly in tune to where that spot is. And all week long, whatever technique you're using to at the line of scrimmage, you know once you employ that technique, you're screaming for that block point.
And obviously, mission accomplished there on getting to that block point yesterday for Dakota Watson. He almost took it right off his leg on the tape. Am I correct? Not just laying out. He almost took it right off of his foot.
Not almost. That's exactly what he did. I mean, the ball never really got punted. That's how fast. That's how fast Dakota got there. I mean, it was on, dropping to the foot or just about to hit the foot, and bam, he put his hands on it. So, it is technically a blocked punt because the act of punting was going on. But it was very early in that phase.
Back to the phones. Daryl has been waiting in Dunedin. You are next here on Buccaneers Total Access with the coach, Greg Schiano. Hey, Daryl.
Hey, thanks. First, just let me say I'm just really impressed with the intensity level that these guys are playing with on every single down. And just a curiosity question. After the block punt, when the punter was down, they were tending to him. North Turner was out getting onto the referee, really animated. And then after that, the referee came over and talked to you. I was just curious what that was about.
Interesting.
Well, I was just checking to see what was going on. You know, whenever another coach gets the ear of the referee for an extended time, I want to make sure I know what's going on, whether there's a rules conflict or and really Coach Turner was using that opportunity to get on him about the play before that was you know, if you remember, there was a pass interference called on Mark Barron, and then it was waved off. And Norv was really just getting on him about that call and that, hey, this didn't have to happen if we would have made that call. But, you know, when you watch it, I think it was a good call. But obviously I wouldn't say it wasn't. But it was a good call and led to that opportunity to block the punt.
Yeah, and fans are always curious because you're asking sometimes for clarification. You know, a penalty might have been called. You want to know, what did you call my guy for, right? Just in generic terms.
Yeah, and there's all different reasons you want to talk to the referee, you know, to the white hat. You try to do it when there's stoppage in play, because sometimes that gets the referee perturbed with you, as if you're calling them over and you're in the middle of a game. So, but when there is stoppage in play, they're very, very cordial, and they come over and explain it the best they can.
990-4620 if you're in Hillsboro. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll free 1-800-596-BUCKS. We got time for another call or two here. Here is James in Tampa. You are next here with the head coach, James.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Coach, I've got a question. Earlier in the year, it appeared to me, technique-wise, that our lines, especially offensive line, was playing a little bit high, actually sometimes way too high. Is that something that you and your staff have noticed and addressed? Because we seem to be playing with a better pad level now, a lot lower.
Well, you know how it is, James. You're always battling that, you know, as a football coach, whether it's on the offensive line, the defensive line. And, you know, even if you start with good pad level, fatigue raises your lines. So as they get tired, they play higher. And there's an old adage in football, low men win. So we continuously are working on that. Coach Bostad and Coach Loney, they have the guys in their individual periods working in what we call the cage, where you do your work underneath a steel cage, so you don't have a choice but to stay low. So there's a lot of different things that we try to do. But it's getting better for sure. You can see the pad level each week getting just a little bit better, and our guys being more comfortable playing at that pad level. That's really the key.
I chuckled because the fans that are MMA or wrestling fans, when they hear cage, they perk up on that moment that you have a cage or the cage fight. And sometimes James sounds like he might be a former offensive lineman.
There's no doubt. I was wondering until he used the word pad level, then I knew he was an old O-lineman.
He knows all about that. Another quick question off of Twitter before the timeout. This one from Eric, who says, Coach, what do you think about NFL games ending in a tie? In the late game, we had a tie with the Rams and the 49ers. First time in 4 or 5 seasons that that's happened. But they play a 15-minute period, and it ended in a tie yesterday.
Yeah, it's not very, you know, it's kind of like the game's over, and everyone's like, what just happened? You know, we played all, you know, 5 quarters of football, and nobody won. You know, you'd like to keep going. I know both coaches and teams would like to keep going. And you do, right, when you get into the playoffs, it does keep going. I think what made me think about was all the strategic things at the end of that overtime, all the strategic thinking that had to go on, because – you know, you get the ball, you know, you don't want to play for a tie.
Right.
But you also don't want to jeopardize, you don't want to lose. And you could see the wheels turning in both head coaches. And I was able to watch it because by then we were done. And
for the situation, for the fans that don't know what we're talking about, in the last minute of overtime, the Rams have the ball, but they're deep in their own end. Exactly what you're talking about of how do we balance going down to try to get points that would win the game versus don't do something to lose the game.
Right, and you never know, right? You never know how that's going to have an effect at the end of the year on your playoff status and all those things. So a loss compared to a tie, or you have to take it all into account. So it's a tricky deal. And even before that, you know, you go back to when San Francisco had the ball, right? And, you know, you're going to punt it away. Well, okay, you punt it away, but it's not the normal situation where you punt it away and you're trying to get the ball back and it's 4 minutes because they're trying to score. So it's definitely a different dynamic to the whole situation.
Very interesting stuff, and we always appreciate the insight from the coach on these different things. We will pause quickly here. We'll get back and talk Carolina Panthers. We'll do that straight ahead when Buccaneers Total Access continues with head coach Greg Schiano. It's brought to you by the International Diamond Center, where you'll find better selection and value guaranteed. This is the Buccaneers Radio Network. And we get ready for the Carolina Panthers, and it's the first time that we'll be able to say this. It is a rematch of the matchup with Carolina from week number 1. Carolina comes off a loss to Denver at home. We now travel to Charlotte on Sunday, and But Coach, just give us a couple of things that stand out right now from Carolina and what you have to go against coming this Sunday in a rematch.
Well, you're right. The rematch is up at their place, so it's going to be a little different. But, you know, the starting offense hasn't changed much, if at all. You know, you're going to always have to, you know, contend with Steve Smith, who's one heck of a competitor. I mean, he's something. And, you know, their tight end, Greg Olsen, is a long, rangy guy who I've known for years and really a good player. Their running back situation, they're more healthy now than when we saw them early in the year. And, you know, Cam Newton obviously is a great talent. So, you know, we're going to have our hands full trying to stop these guys. And then when you flip over to the defense, you know, the one thing that you know is that a Ron Rivera coach defense are going to play hard. And they're going to come after you and they're going to be relentless. And that's for sure. And, you know, when you look, you know, with they got a really special rookie too, a guy that we looked very closely at in our preparation for the draft, and Luke Kuechly, who I think is playing at a very high level. And, you know, we're going to have to make sure that everything is on point because it's going to be a heck of a contest.
I know we're going all the way back to 8 weeks ago, but how much do you emphasize what you were able to do in week one against this team with your team in preparation for this game?
Well, you include it all in the study for sure. You know, so you take a bunch of their games that they've played more recently, but then you always put your own game in there and you take a look at it and you see, all right, this was their general thoughts. Will they do it exactly the same? No, no one will. I mean, you know, they'll format it a little differently or they'll disguise the defense a little differently or in the kicking game they'll set up just a little differently. But you kind of look and see as they go along in the year, have they remained to be the same team that we prepared for? Where are the differences? And now you look, well, was it injuries that caused the differences or are they just the schematic shift? So you have to have a good feel for them. And, you know, it is a neat thing in the NFL that you play your divisional teams twice. So this is our first rematch of the year, and we're excited about it.
Looking forward to going on the road. Here to go try to get this one, and that'll be the matchup with the Carolina Panthers. We will have more on Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Greg Schiano. It's brought to you by International Diamond Center, where you'll find better selection and value guaranteed. This is the Buccaneers Radio Network. All right, again, the Buccaneers get set to go to Charlotte to play the Carolina Panthers. We will be on the air at noon on Sunday, 1 o'clock kick time, for the rematch after the 16-10 win in week number one for Tampa Bay. And we'll obviously be back next Monday night with another edition of Buccaneers Total Access with the coach Greg Schiano. It's brought to you by International Diamond Center, where you'll find better selection and value guaranteed. My thanks to Eric Sachs helping things out back at the station, Jeff Ryan here at One Buck Place, and we look forward to the Bucs and the Panthers Sunday on the Buccaneers Radio Network.